Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greetings, everyone. I am Chris Gullo, joined alongside Brandon Thurston, and it's Thursday. That's right. It's time for the WrestleNomics Radio Thursday 30. We're going to discuss on the show WWE stock price, Tony Khan's thoughts on Nick Khan, Extreme Rules tickets, AEW ratings news, and more. Brandon, of course, we're here free and live. And how long are we doing that to?
Well, we're not really here live. Let's not lie to the people. We were going to do this live at 7, but we decided it would be a little bit more convenient to do it a little bit at a different time earlier. But it'll be released at 7, unless anybody's holding on to the link that I shared earlier. But it looks like nobody is right now. Anyway, so what did you say?
So just discussing the Patreon, and this is not part of the Patreon right now, but it will be. So can I explain everything with that? Yes.
So this is a new podcast that we're doing. It's a 30-minute podcast, and it's free throughout the month of October. In November, though, it'll be patrons. It'll be subscribers only. So if you sign up to the Patreon, and any time is a great time to sign up for the Patreon now, then you'll get all the TV ratings reports, you get the quarter-hour reports that I do, you get the latest stuff that I've done. Including I did an analysis of what the top Patreon accounts are, and I did a Google Trends update. I've been doing that monthly. I think I've been doing it monthly for a number of months in a row, and I intend to do it every month. I'm not yet advertising it as a part of the Patreon, but you can expect that probably. And that is new. For every month that passes, the new month happens, and then we're able to look back on the Google Trends data from Google. So that's there. Who are the top wrestling personalities? And we'll get into that maybe a little bit today. But starting in November, this will be subscriber only. So anyway, what's going on?
All right. Well, we're going to start
Dynamite
with
first.
AEW Dynamite ratings news.
1 million. They made 1 million viewers, which is more than last week, where they did less than 1 million by 10,000. So, of course, that was a bad rating. But now, just over 1 million. 1,038,000. This is almost identical to 2 weeks ago. This is only, 50,000 more viewers than the week prior in terms of total viewership. This was a 0.33 in the demo. 0.33. Last week was a 0.34. Week before that was a 0.35. So, of course, we have headlines today. Nobody knows whether to write Dynamite up or Dynamite down, because there was a slight difference in total and in one direction, and a slight difference in the demo in the other direction. Nobody ever writes the headline Dynamite flat for some reason, but this is pretty flat. So let's look at the charts here that people can see if they're watching on the YouTube version here. You'll see the total viewership up slightly and the demo down slightly. This is the third consecutive week that the demo was down. Dynamite did not win on the chart in the demo.
The Revenge of the Real Housewives.
It was number two among cable originals, and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills on Bravo decisively beat Dynamite by three ratings points at 0.36. Of course, that show has a much larger female audience than Dynamite does. It had 1.2 million viewers total. Survivor was also on Wednesday. That won overall, and Chicago Fire and Chicago PD also ranking highly on broadcast. Anyway, not much of a rating to talk about. Dynamite did have 15 extra minutes, though, which is the longest Dynamite ever. Tony Khan put it over as, it was their anniversary Dynamite, and the network gave them an additional 15 minutes. So we have quarter hours here on the screen that include this extra 15 minutes, and we see a consistent decline across the show pretty consistent. It exceeds the rate of decline that we see here exceeds the normal 4-week trend, as you can see demonstrated here in this dashed line, most pronounced in total viewership because that's the bigger metric, and it starts to exceed right around quarter hour 3 or 4. And really, it's a little bit lower than usual in the demo, so we start out under indexing the 4-week trend in the demo.
One segment didn't decline on 18 to 49, and that was the claim segment.
So that is true. So we have we don't have a lot of negative stories here. The degree to which this show declined, I would say, is distributed throughout. So it's not as if like one quarter suffered a great loss and the others did okay. It's a consistent decline. And in fact, in total viewership, every quarter lost viewers. in the demo, as Gullo just said, only one quarter did not lose viewers. Only one quarter gained viewers, and that is the acclaimed Scissor. What was it? National Scissor Day?
Scissoring Day or Scissor Day? I don't know what it was.
Yes. So that gained 1%, barely gained, right? So this wasn't like a 5% gain, but this wasn't a quarter that usually loses 6% across the last 4 weeks. On a median basis, this lost 6% of the viewership in the prior 4 weeks. This week, gaining 1%. So it ends up being more than 5 percentage points better than usual, so it ends up being a bright green box on our table. The following quarter lost 9% of the viewership in a quarter that usually loses none. This is in the demo still. That quarter had a short promo with Madison Rain, Sky Blue, Tecanti, Anna Jay, and then the Roosh and Adam Page match. And then the Jon Moxley and Adam Page live promo after the match, setting up their title match in Cincinnati. So that doesn't bode well, for Hangman and for Moxley, but I don't think it is a verdict on them either. I would say this demo doing well is probably reflects well on the acclaimed. Some other things we may talk about later reflect well on the acclaimed. The last 15 minutes did lose 7% in total viewership and 3% in the demo. So it's not as if this last 15 minutes, although it is later in the night, which is kind of a headwind, because the later you go, as we've learned with Rampage, the later you go into the night, the harder it is to retain viewers, especially after 10. I don't think this is a big deal in the 9 o'clock hour, but after 10, maybe it starts to get to be a bigger deal. But that main event with Bryan Danielson and Daniel Garcia against Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho did lose viewership as well, I guess. In fact, this was the quarter that lost viewership the most in total viewership, because it lost 7%. That's more than any of the other quarters. In the demo, it lost 3%, but there are some quarters that lost as much or more. Those are the quarter hours. Quarter hours are bullshit. They're confusing. They don't tell us a lot that clearly. We can try to decipher some meaning from them, and you can decipher some meaning from them. Again, I said this looks like it reflects well on the acclaimed. This doesn't necessarily reflect well on Roosh and Adam Page, maybe even Moxley, although Moxley's segment was shorter than the match. Yeah. Anything else to add or question?
So, obviously, total viewership up. Yeah. A little bit of decrease, though, in the 18 to 49. Now, my question is, though, it was the 3-year anniversary episode. They did a lot of media and press on this. And there was, I mean, it's not good press, but any press is good press. There was the backstage incident stuff that was happening.
You know, that happened so short before the show started, right?
Well, I mean, do you think, like, this is a disappointing rating a little bit, or
relative to my expectations? No, I expected, I did. Think about it for a minute before the rating came out. I said, yeah, low 30s for the demo rating, and that's where it was. This wasn't like it was a show that had a title match on it, although if it did have a title match on it, like we've seen, you know, shows like Grand Slam not do an exceeding rating above the neighboring ratings for Dynamite, so I don't know what really moves this number. External factors, major competition from news.
This had the extra runtime too. This episode.
here's a question. If you excluded those 15 minutes, which did go below 900,000 viewers, what would the rating be? I can tell you that. Let me see here. What would the total viewership be? It would have been 1,058,000. What would the demo have been? The demo would have been, let's see, in 8 quarters, it would have been a 0.33. It would not have been any different. The demo would not have been any different. And the total viewership would not be meaningfully different. It would be slightly higher. Slightly higher in both. Because the demo did dip below 0.29, which we can see over here in that last quarter, 0.29. I don't know, like what made those last couple weeks, those last 2 weeks after the All Out controversy, those did better than usual ratings coming off of a pay-per-view, coming off of that news story. And I think that's why those ratings were stronger than usual. And there isn't as much of a news urgency to check out what's going to happen here. Anyway, anything else there?
No, that's all I got here.
Okay. Briefly, did you happen to watch this? I watched this today. Listen to this.
I have not. I need to now, seeing what I've seen.
It's you're not missing anything though. So Ariel Helwani had an interview with Tony Khan on his program. They have an hour interview that came out after Dynamite, but it was taped before Dynamite. Obviously, I thought it was remarkable that he mentioned Nick Khan and that he has spoken with Nick Khan, apparently on the phone. He first, at one point earlier in the interview, said that he had not met Nick Khan, but then admitted that he had talked to him on the phone later. And so Ariel followed up and asked if he had talked to Triple H and Stephanie, and he said he had. It sounds like he has met Stephanie. He alluded to, you know, meeting them through, at least meeting Stephanie through the NFL. Which I thought was interesting. I've always kind of wondered if he's ever had a conversation with Vince, but Ariel didn't ask about that specifically.
Yeah, I don't know if he has, but he did, like, back before AEW, he would go backstage when they were in Jacksonville, and there's all these pictures of him, like, visiting WWE talent, Titus O'Neil, and a few others before AEW was created. So I feel like he probably would have met Stephanie through that.
Yeah. One of the quotes here that has ended up on Reddit is Tony Khan saying this: "If I was making record profits, I probably wouldn't be laying off dozens of people. So that's some of what I'm talking about when I talk about compassion and being a good boss. And frankly, when I talk about, you know, I'm not necessarily the same guy as some person who shares a surname," end quote. So there he's talking about the layoffs that WWE did to talent and employees throughout 2020, and also more so talent in 2021, but also there was consolidation and layoffs on the employee side too in 2021. So Ariel Helwani is Nick Khan used to be his agent. That's worth saying, and he points that out himself. He refers to Nick Khan by name earlier in the interview, and he just sort of doesn't allude to, you know, refer to him by name in this moment, and Ariel does follow up on that. It's just sort of a cattiness, but it was very interesting to learn that they had conversations. Ariel asked what they had, you know, tried to ask about those conversations, and Tony was not going to say anything more about that. But that was just interesting to learn that he has had some direct contact with WWE. I guess maybe that's what I was hoping to hear about in part of the post All Out scrum, and I think besides the Punk stuff, the thing that people have talked the most about, besides that much bigger story, is Tony sort of going on a rant about WWE and how he felt that WWE doing Clash of the Castle, he didn't, you know, spell it out as clearly as this, but how WWE doing Clash of the Castle and doing the NXT premium live event in the same weekend as All Out was competing with his event with All Out. So something that I was hoping we would hear about was, which he sounded like he was alluding to on the conference call on the prior Thursday, was that he didn't like how he was being treated by WWE. And I thought that maybe that had some, that meant something in terms of he had some direct contact with WWE that, uh, that, that he didn't like, or made it clear to him that they were not treating him the way that he wanted to be treated, or whatever. So maybe that's part of the story there, but we don't know. Okay, moving on to Extreme Rules is coming up this Saturday. We have this note. WrestleTix reported today that WrestleTix reported that what you see below is what's left in the expensive floor seats. At one point, there were available seats throughout the upper deck. And then several days later, not only were they gone, but previously unopened upper decks are sold out too. It seems the White Rabbit teases leading to this event were effective. So, at least in Mr. WrestleTix monitoring what's going on with the Extreme Rules ticket sales in Philadelphia, it's his conclusion that, or at least I guess speculation, that the White Rabbit stuff has helped ticket sales become even higher. This show is essentially sold out, I would say, given that WrestleTix is counting 94 tickets available out of the over 13,500 that are already distributed. So I think this is, you know, another credit. We have that SmackDown from 2 weeks ago that did over 2.5 million viewers. Was not repeated this past Friday, back to normal. But we have that, and we have this. I expect Bray Wyatt to return on Saturday. And then it'll be interesting to see whether that correlates, you know, that results in any rating on Raw on the following Monday or on SmackDown the following Friday, depending on what program he's on. I guess I expect him to be on SmackDown, but who knows? So I expect that's what we'll see there. And, you know, I think this is sort of the counter narrative to a lot of the pro AEW world that I am exposed to a lot, where, you know, Bray Wyatt could not possibly be a draw, Roman Reigns neither. And yet we have evidence like this, like the SmackDown on 2 Fridays ago, and this, that lends support to the notion that some of the major stars that WWE has pushed over the years actually do correlate to improving business. That's not to say that you couldn't make an argument that there's an opportunity cost that is greater, nonetheless. Credit to this White Rabbit gimmick and whoever is behind it, probably Bray Wyatt.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
WWE stock price. You got any WWE shares, Chris Cole?
I do not.
You used to, though.
Yes.
Kicking yourself now, probably.
I think as I continued on my WrestleNomics journey, I didn't want to be biased, having gotten stock price.
You didn't want to be conflicted.
No conflict, so got rid of it. Bought Dogecoin and made a bad decision there. But that's another story for another day. That's another story for another day.
Maybe you could buy some Twitter stock now. I don't know. Anyway, WWE stock, this is, I don't know what it was right now. Let's see here. This is as of the middle of the day right now. So now the market is closed. The market closed at $73 is what WWE closed at for a share price. Anyway, WWE is at its highest stock price since September 2019. This is the highest that WWE's stock price has been in 3 years. It has, as the chart shows here, it has hit some astronomical levels where it approached $100 on two separate trends back in 2018 and early 2019. But this has been a gradual, steady upward trend in a bear market that's, you know, not doing well year to date. So why is that the case? Why is this stock price rising? Any guesses?
I would probably say speculation on the growth of the product. I mean, you know, the growth of the company as far as like upcoming TV rights deals, and you see there's TV ratings are doing well and ticket sales are doing well. So,
yeah, I think, and so I was having a conversation with someone about the, you know, why is this stock price rising? And, you know, I guess maybe one idea that comes to mind is as we get closer to that time where they're going to, you know, make that deal, presumably in spring of next year, as we get closer to that time, the uncertainty about whether something unforeseen is going to come up and get in the way of them being able to make a good deal is lessened just as we get closer to that in time. So maybe that's part of it. I'm sure a lot of it, at least earlier, was the speculation around WB selling. WB's not going to sell. Stop. Has WB sold yet? Chris Cole, you proponent of that notion? Has it sold yet?
It is not.
No, hey, still an independent company.
You never know.
Vince is out of the picture, but Vince still has control. In any case, I don't expect WWE to sell anytime soon. I could see it selling as part of a TV deal, or in lieu of a TV deal. Even then, I don't know though. But I wouldn't be shocked at that. But yeah, there's reason to be optimistic about the product, and the quality of the product, and the extent to which that's important to the business. The business, which is quite, you know, insulated from that kind of risk because of guaranteed revenues, including from TV rights fees. But the stock price is not moved by a lot of things other than stock analyst reports, macroeconomic trends, mainly those two things. The interpretation of earnings results. Obviously, the major financial institutions and whoever makes the decisions about, you know, buying and selling, those are the people who ultimately move the price of the stock. But I don't think that those people or stock analysts generally are in tune with what's happening week to week. I think there's some effort to pay attention to what's going on, but I don't think there's, I don't know. I don't get the sense that there's like a grand realization that Vince McMahon being out of the picture is really a good thing for this business. Like, which is my opinion. Speaking of my opinion, we've set a, I say we because, you know, that's what the stock analysts say. And I presume that you agree with me here, Gullo.
Of course.
We set a stock price target of $76. What are they at now? $72, $73. They closed at $73 today. This was back on September 13th. So nearly there. On September 13th, the stock price was $69, and we are up to $73 and on the way to $76. I guess, and that's a one-year stock price target, so that's basically a prediction about what this company should be valued at in a year from September 13th. I guess I would start to think that if it went over $76, that it would be overvalued, perhaps. But something to think about if we come to that bridge. How much time we got? You want to do a Who's a Draw in 7 minutes here? It's a 30-minute podcast. Can it be done? Are you muted? You're muted.
Oh, yeah. I think it could happen. Let's do it, so, Brandon.
So, Google Trends worldwide. Here are the top performers. It's John Cena. It's Roman Reigns. And then there's Brock Lesnar. And then there's basically everybody else. And a free agent by the name of Vince McMahon is number four. Things that I thought were remarkable to point out here. Alexa Bliss performing probably higher than most people would think. She's at what rank among people who are active in YouTube videos was my criteria for inclusion here with WWE or AEW. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I think 11. Alexa Bliss is 11. So she's just below CM Punk, just above Pat McAfee with all the things that Pat McAfee does. Liv Morgan is just below Pat McAfee, above Seth Rollins. So that's probably higher than most people would predict, I would think. Somebody else who I think is a surprise here, Rhea Ripley, who is just below Charlotte Flair, but actually above Edge. And Becky Lynch. So the thing that I thought was remarkable is that Liv Morgan and Alexa Bliss outrank Becky Lynch here. Why is that? Not a lot of Becky Lynch stands, just more Liv Morgan stands and Alexa Bliss stands, maybe. So, moving on to AEW. We've got CM Punk by far number one, Jeff Hardy, and then MJF. I think MJF, we need a preponderance of things to support a conclusion like this, but I think we're getting closer to the time where MJF is pretty clearly one of their big stars for AEW, which is not something you would have said certainly 3 years ago. It's not something you would have said a year ago, maybe not even 6 months ago, but that's becoming more clearly the case. Jade Cargill performs better than you would probably guess. She's not in the top 10, but let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. She's number 15, and that puts her ahead of Miro, ahead of Malakai Black, ahead of the Young Bucks. And who's just below the Young Bucks? Danhausen, who you probably would not guess. This indie wrestler, Danhausen, is just below the Young Bucks and ahead of Andrade.
Well, he's not an indie wrestler anymore.
But you know what I'm saying? Like he's just come off the indies, and the criticism against Danhausen is that he's just this sort of indie act. Top YouTube videos are here. They'll be in the slides for patrons. We're not going to go through all of them. I think this is like 25 of them. The one that by my math most over. I don't want to say overperformed, but performed the best and did have over a million views. There's a number of criteria that are set forth here. The number one video by this criteria that I set is the Sami Zayn getting his Bloodline honorary Us shirt. So this involves Usos and Roman Reigns. Number two there is Braun Strowman making his return. Again, this is YouTube video stuff. Drew McIntyre versus Solo Sikoa, Braun Strowman clearing the way against the Maximum Male Models, Drew McIntyre doing something with the Bloodline, Edge setting up his I Quit match with Finn Balor. We have more Edge stuff, some Dexter Lumis, another guy who can't possibly be a draw in certain parts of the internet, but nonetheless performing well enough here with The Miz. What's the criteria, by the way, just because this will look weird because there's things that are lower and higher in the views here. The criteria is you have to be in the top 80%, in the top 20%. What is it? You have to be either like number one or number two on your week for your program, and then you have to do better than like all but 80% or all but 20% of all the videos for that program in that month. What performs well for AEW here? Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley setting up their title match at Arthur Ashe. They did not wrestle. They wrestled each other at Arthur Ashe. They did. Okay. And then a passionate Jon Moxley vows to be a legendary as he comes face-to-face with MJF. So that's the segment in Buffalo. The rest are there if you want to look at them. Quarter hours. I don't see a lot of clear meaning here in the quarter hours for September. This is all September that we're looking at here, by the way, too. CM Punk was much higher in web search in September for some reason, too, by the way. So we have Lashley versus The Miz did well as a quarter hour. The Braun Strowman and Otis match did well as a quarter hour, but that's also the 9:23 SmackDown in the quarter that was right around 9:23. There's a lot of Sami Zayn stuff in here, a lot of Drew McIntyre, even some Edge, and yes, even Dominic. So it sort of starts to wonder, do we really have something here that's meaningful? But these are the quarter hours that overperformed the most when it comes to comparing what they did from quarter to quarter in the demo versus what the quarter usually does in the demo. Merchandise. Number one, Roman Reigns, acknowledge your daddy. That's my scraping and reverse rank calculation for most of September and some days in October as well. But we have Roman Reigns, an NWO shirt, another Roman Reigns shirt, a Judgment Day shirt, another Roman Reigns shirt, a Stone Cold Steve Austin shirt. Those are the top, those are the items that appeared highest in the top sellers list over the last 30 days or so. Maybe a little less than 30 days, probably about 20 days. In fact, that's probably what this 20 is here for. In terms of the people who are most associated with these top selling items, by my calculation, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, it's WWE brand and other things that I couldn't categorize, it's The Rock, and it's Roman Reigns, and it's Brock Lesnar, The Undertaker, NWO, Eddie Guerrero, and more that are there. Pro Wrestling Tees.
Yes. Real quick, are these like just 30 day numbers or
I just said this is the last 20 days.
20 is, wow. The fact that all these retro shirts are being bought in high volume.
Yes.
Like
Legacy IP is very valuable. And then if we go to Pro Wrestling Tees, we've got the acclaimed Scissor Me Daddy Ass is the number one shirt by my calculation on Pro Wrestling Tees. I thought it was remarkable that we have Roman Reigns Acknowledge Your Daddy is number one for WWE. And for the Pro Wrestling Tees AEW world, it's Scissor Me Daddy Ass. A lot of daddy issues happening in the wrestling world. There's also a fairly well-selling Wardlow, Pin Me Wardlow Daddy or War Daddy or whatever. Someone should write an academic article analyzing all this. So did you know that Shop AEW, which is, of course, powered by Pro Wrestling Tees, they have their own listing. It's very, very similar to the results that I found with Pro Wrestling Tees, but I'm tracking that now, too. The top performers in Shop AEW and Pro Wrestling Tees are basically identical. It's CM Punk by far number one, The Acclaimed, Blackpool Combat Club, MJF, Danhausen, FTR, Hangman Page, and the list goes on. So who's a draw? Same people as always, I would say. Roman Reigns, yeah, CM Punk. The Acclaimed have got something valuable, something economically valuable here with this scissoring stuff. I think that's all I have to say for today. I didn't see a lot of meaning to derive out of the quarter hours. Quarter hours are pretty ambiguous. You can, read into them however you want, and I'll continue to report them at patreon.com/WrestleNox. So thanks for tuning in. See you on Sunday at 11 a.m. Talk to you next time. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.